Are you excited?
Amen.
That doesn't sound too excited, but you know, I am excited because God always knows the best thing for you, best thing for me, and the best thing for everybody, right? But he does it in his timing and he does it in his way. You know, when you come here and you listen to fervent prayer, and I know how Brother Nelson prays, so I wasn't surprised, but there's just something today that was a little more fiery. There was more fervency in that prayer. And the Bible says that the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So that means if you don't have a fervent prayer, your prayer is not going to go very far. He wants us to pray like we believe. And that's what we'll be talking about this morning a bit in reference to what climate is your church in? Or where are you personally in terms of weather or hot, cold, lukewarm? And because we have those grades in the Bible, don't we? We have hot, we have cold, and the Bible speaks about lukewarm, and you want to make absolutely sure you're not lukewarm, right?
Yes.
Right? We know, the Bible says lukewarm is the worst. Be hot or cold, but not lukewarm, right?
Yes.
Amen? So hopefully this morning we're going to share from what God gave me to give you. And then, of course, like always, the songs, what Brother Nelson was saying, the prayers, everything goes right into my message. So that gives me more excitement. So today I'm going to be a little more excited so that you get a little more excited.
Yeah, amen. Very good.
The men that went to the men's conference know what I'm talking about. Those men were excited. There was no little mumbling in prayers. Every prayer was with an excitement, an expectancy that something was going to happen.
Amen.
I don't know what God did in that whole conference, but I can tell you one thing. He did something. He did a whole lot for a whole lot of men at that conference. And that same excitement is what we should have in the body of Christ. All over, not just in one meeting, not just in one place, because God is not in one place. He is all over the place, and he wants all of his children excited about what he's doing in your life. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Amen. Just before I get going, let me just share a couple of things. October the 13th, we are going to Cuba, regardless of what President Trump says. We are going to Cuba. The planes are flying. People are receiving. And so we're going. We are going to have a very busy schedule. We're doing a marriage conference by myself. A one-man marriage conference. But we have other people that are going that will be sharing in the marriage conference. We're doing a pastor's conference for all the pastors in that region. And we are also going to be in 15 different services and churches. So it's going to be a busy schedule. There are 8 of us going. And please, 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 keep us in prayer, because the enemy is going to try. The enemy has already tried through Donald Trump. He's my president, but he said, nobody is supposed to go to Cuba. Nobody go. No. The book, it's still open. I'm going. You left 40% of your employees over there. That means it's not that bad. When things are bad, you take them all out. He left 40% over there in Cuba. And if it's the sound, electronic and buzzing, that ain't going to hurt us. It's going to hurt them, because we're not even, first of all, we're not going to be there, and God wouldn't allow that, because in the name of Jesus, all that buzzing has to die. It's like a bad radio sound or a bad earphone sound. But I just want you to know that we are going, and I want you to keep us in prayer. Amen. Really keep us in prayer, because that's that much spiritual warfare going on here as it is over there. And so please keep us in prayer for that. Amen? And then, of course, we're going to see you guys on the 28th. And hopefully all of you guys will be here, all the married couples. Anybody here engaged to be married? Well, if you know some people that are engaged to get married, invite them to come.
Yeah.
This is a perfect place to find out if the girl you're going with is the right wife. Huh? And the girl to find out if that's the right husband. You don't just take anything that comes around. You got to take what God brings you. a good man or a good wife. Amen? Amen. He who finds a good wife finds a good thing. Huh? That means if you don't find a good wife, you're in trouble. You're in a mess. Because they'll hound you. Amen? Amen? Glory, 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 glory. And of course, we have added something to our schedule this year that I didn't plan on. As soon as I return from Cuba, we're going to be scheduling a trip to go to Puerto Rico to take food. I just spoke to my sister and some other family we have there, and the biggest problem is food. They're living without the electricity, but they can't live without the food. And of course, the water is difficult, and so I'll be making another mission trip right back to that part of the world soon in November, probably the second week in November. I'll be going over there. Because after that, my schedule here will be very, very busy till the end of the year. And as you already know, Christmas time is coming. It's always turkey time. This year, our ministry will be giving out 100 turkeys to 100 different families. And with all the condiments, we'll be doing that down in the South. And then at Christmas time this year, we're really working on giving out 1,000 toys. We're really working hard on it. We'll be bringing a box here so that you guys can... You can raise all your own toys right here to give out in the community, to give out for your children. It'll really serve as a nice place to put your toys, and it'll really do you a lot of good. It's a good time of year to present Jesus to a lot of people. Amen? Through a toy, through a love of God. So just get involved here at the house, and you watch how God shows up. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Boy, has a lot happened since the last time we were here in 30 days? Huh? What is that, three storms? Three storms? Or was the other storm already here? Did Texas already here? First was Texas. So then Florida, and then Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands. I mean, if that doesn't make you think about where you are with God, and make sure that you are right with him at all times. Because you don't know when your day is coming. I mean, it is a miracle of God that out of a whole island of 3.4 million people, only 16 people have died. That's a miracle of God. Because if you look, some of the housing there is some of the poor. If you look at the poorest housing you have in the Philippines and the poorest housing you have in Mexico, and you look at that in Puerto Rico, it's the same. It's poor. It's not stone. It's made out of can or metal, or it's made out of weak cardboard. I mean, those houses with a strong wind, the winds that they were getting there of 130 miles an hour, those things disappear. That's it. You don't have a house. And they said that 60% of the people in Puerto Rico did not have their houses insured. So it's done for a lot of people. But thankfully, they're still alive. They're still alive, and there is still hope. It's amazing how people can come together and begin to pray right away and begin to call out the name of Jesus and call out God, and they show up to the churches, and they do a whole lot of different things when these catastrophes happen. But we should be ready when the catastrophe comes, and no big deal to us, because we're going to stand on God no matter what comes. We're going to stand on the name of Jesus no matter what comes. And so this becomes times of opportunity for the church to bring in many into the house of God. We don't want to look at it that way, but that's exactly what it becomes, because God allowed it to happen. And every time he allows things like that to happen, people come to Christ because they run in fear. They come in fear, and then they grow, and that fear goes away. But it always comes in fear. Not that everybody here accepted Christ in fear, but you probably had some problem when you accepted Christ. When you first came to the Lord, you had something going on in your life that said, boy, I better find the Lord. Right? We had marital problems. And so that problem brought me to the Lord. And then, you know, you bring your children and then something else. And everybody has their own testimony and their own reason why they come to God. And so this is a great opportunity for the kingdom. They already expect more than 1 million people are going to leave the island. They have to. There's no way they're going to repair that island in time. And a lot of those people are their citizens. So They just come to the United States and they're done. And so, because so many of them have family already in the United States. But that's a good thing, isn't it? So you have to look at that and look at the good thing, but it's going to be a long time before that island recuperates. 3.4 million people, and 95% of it has no electricity. Think about that. Sometimes when the lights go out in your house because of some blackout, what do? Makes you uncomfortable, doesn't it? Oh, my God, my refrigerator's off. My lights are off. My air conditioning is off. Huh? Right? But here in America, we have an option, right? We get in our car, we go to the mall. Where they have air conditioning, they got lights, they got food, they got everything. Over there, you can't go anywhere because it's all out. So it is pretty nasty. Amen? Well, this morning, I want to talk to you about the climate of the church. About the climate of the church, because this is something that the Lord put on my heart about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I was at a conference, and it was spoken about, and it was timely, and so I did a study on it. And this morning, when I did my devotional at 4 o'clock in the morning, I looked at my devotional, and sure enough, it lines up right with what I'm going to teach you. And it says, my devotional says, it's all about Him. That's what the devotional is about. And the scripture that it uses is, if I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. Neither in Jesus' culture nor in ours is someone well accepted who claims his own authority. Self-proclamation is not an admirable trait unless it is solidly backed up by truth and humbly presented. Jesus tells his hearers that his own testimony is not valid enough to meet the standards of the law. So he offers others, John the Baptist, the works and miracles Jesus has done, the Father himself, the scriptures in general, and Moses in particular. Jesus' assertion is staggering. All that the Jews held to be reliable, he says, points to him as the Messiah. Prophets and prophecies of Scripture, miracles of God, the story of the nation, the Mosaic law, everything, it is all about him. We can add other witnesses too. Paul says that even nature and history point to Jesus. And the gospel writers tell us that the voice from heaven declared Jesus' authority at his baptism and the transfiguration. He is the centerpiece of the universe. The answers to the great philosophical questions, why are we here? What is the meaning of life? Where are we going? All are wrapped up in Jesus. We who have expressed faith in Jesus as our Savior, little trouble accepting this. We believe him to be God incarnate and the key to all understanding and the giver of life. By him, we interpret the world. But if the entire universe, all history, all humanity, and every true revelation are about Jesus, what does that say about the direction of our lives? Shouldn't we be entirely about Jesus as well? If we are not, we are swimming against the tide of creation. We don't fit the direction of history and the reality of transcendent truth. Test yourself. Does everything about you point to him? Good question, isn't it? Everything about you point to Jesus. Not just here in church, but when you go through those doors and you go home and you go to work and you talk to your fellow workers and you get mixed up with other family and you talk and you talk and you talk. Does your life represent Jesus? Everybody know who A.W. Tozer was? He's an old theologian from way, way back. And he wrote something here that I think would be interesting. This is the comment he wrote. The man who has God for his treasure has all things in one. In other words, if you have God or Jesus as your treasure, everything you need is in him. Everything. Everything is in him. And you see, too many times the children of God try to mix it with the world. We kind of put our needs on the world and not on God. We say, well, God, I know God's going to supply all my needs, but I'm going to do it. Well, you probably are going to do it, but he's going to supply it. We have to go out and work to earn an income, correct? But who's the one that really supplies your income? God himself. Huh? Who gives you your raises? God. Oh, my boss gives it to me. No, your boss don't give you nothing until God tells him. If your boss was, he'd probably pay you $11 an hour if he could. But when God gets into the picture, everything changes about you. And it should change you. Because when you don't have God in the picture, we're a terrible mess. We are a mess. If you say you can get around without God, if you say that you can be successful in life without God, if you say that you can be healed without God, you don't know God. There's nothing wrong with having doctors. There's nothing wrong with taking medication. There's absolutely nothing wrong with these things because God created them all. But your faith cannot be in Tylenol or Advil or Aleve. That is not what your faith is. Your faith is in the fact that God created those things to do something for us, to help us. Your faith is in God because he created those things. Your faith is not in Aleve and Advil and who represents those companies. That's not what your faith has to be. Your faith must be in God. God has got to be your focal point. See, because the biggest question that we have in the world today and the biggest problem we have in the world today is we have Christians who are not believers. You can either be a Christian or you can be a believer. You hear me? You see, we all go around saying, yeah, I'm a Christian. Are you really? Because the only thing that qualifies you for that title is the fact that you are a believer. Because still today, many people do not believe the Word of God. They don't believe. They don't trust it. They don't trust the Word of God. They don't trust what God says. If God says, don't go out with a certain type of man or a certain type of woman, don't go out with them. Doesn't the Bible give us instruction as to who we should be with? Our conversation? How we should talk? What we should talk about? He guides us. He tells us because those things are good for us. Because every time you do it his way, you bring God into the conversation. You bring the peace of God into the conversation. You bring his joy into the conversation. You know, this morning I go to Praise and Worship because the services there start at 10. I went to Praise and Worship at our church. And let me tell you, I got into it and I almost didn't leave. Because once I get into the mood with the Lord, and the Lord is just guiding me and speaking to me, I don't want to go. My wife says, you better get out of here. I don't want to go, not now. But I had to. But that doesn't leave me. That moment with my father in there, and then I come here and I get more of it, and then Brother Nelson just going crazy. And he just, wow, he's just tearing everything apart. I mean, that just gets you excited. It should get you excited. It should lift you up. It should make you want more of God. That's what you want. You see, because when people visit your church, if you're just going to, I'm healed. Yeah. I'm healed. Oh, listen, brothers and sisters. We've all been sick. And there's a way you can say, I'm healed. You can speak up. You can speak up like you believe. Because when you believe something, You can yell it out, right?
Amen.
You can yell it out. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that Jesus is waiting for me. I believe that He's always with me wherever I go. I go on a plane, He's right there with me. I go into a bad neighborhood, He's there with me. That's why when I go into a bad neighborhood or I'm going to a country where everybody in the world say, don't go. Don't go. I mean, that's like me saying, I don't trust my God. Can you imagine if Paul has said he didn't want to go to Rome after God told him to go to Rome? If he had said to God, no, I don't want to go to Rome. Them people are going to beat me up over there. Paul went knowing what was going to happen. You remember when Jesus said to the disciples, Paul, I must tell Paul what he must go through for my cause. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how many Christians would stay Christians if God would tell you, I'm going to show you what you're going to have to go through to be my child or my daughter? Oh, boy, oh, boy. That you're going to have to get 40 lashes 4 or 5 times and you're going to be thrown into prison. And would you serve the Lord? Have He showed you that? Oh, boy, huh? That'll get you going. That'll get you thinking right away. But you see, you have to be ready to say, yes, I will go. But remember, God doesn't put you through anything more than you can handle. So He's only going to let you go through enough that you can handle, and then He'll stop it. That's a safeguard we have. You see, because God uses everything that happens in your life. Everything that happens in your life is because God has allowed this to happen in your life. Can God stop the devil? You bet He can stop the devil. But you got to have the faith for it. You see, because you got to ask Him to step into your situation. Are you hearing me? What is it that the Bible says about the strong man? That if you want to steal from the strong man's house, you first have to bind him. The devil has all of your blessings all locked up sometimes. He has your health all locked up. He puts fear into you. He puts all kinds of stuff into you to get you off course, off base. But the devil has you all wrapped up. So you have to bind the devil. So He will loosen your blessing. So He will loosen your healing. So He will loosen everything that He's holding on to. The kingdom of heaven is taken by force. What force? The force of faith. The force of all the kingdom. The kingdom of God gets behind you. When you speak something out in faith, all of the power of heaven and earth is right behind you. All of it. Not a part of it. All of it. Every single bit of it is right behind you. Hallelujah. Today we see the church being attacked everywhere. Has everybody seen that? I mean, just because you're Republican, you get attacked. Just by thinking something different, you get attacked. You can imagine when you say you're a Christian and a Republican or whatever it is. The church is getting attacked here. It's getting attacked in our schools. It's getting attacked in our colleges. It's getting attacked from our government. It's getting attacked from our education system. It's getting attacked all over the world, what we believe. And you cannot give up. You've got to hold steady with God. You've got to hold steady with God and your church. Because your strength is not just in you believing, but in all of you coming together and in one accord. Because there is power when you come together in one accord, believing for the same thing. There is power. And that is what I'm trying to encourage you today, to jump into that power. Jump into what God has already given to you and let that power work through you. Let that power stand up against these crazies in our neighborhoods. Don't Don't stand back and say, oh, just let him be. No, you don't let him be. No, you say, no, you're not going to do this here. You're not going to do this in my house. You're not going to do this in my community. You're not going to do this in my country. There is an attack against the church. You have to know that. There is an attack on what you believe. And if you don't believe that, go ahead. Start talking to people of Jesus about out there. And you'll see how quickly you find out how many people don't believe. And we take it for granted that a lot of people, because we're a Christian nation, you figure that many people are Christian. No. We got all kinds of crazy people following. All kinds of different religions in the world just flowing all over the place. And we can't believe everything. What if somebody comes and you say, oh, we all serve the same God? Really? Does your God, you know, the Muslims say that. The Muslims say that a lot. We serve the same God. The Jews say that. We serve the same God. Many people say that have their beginnings in the Bible. But then they all get off base. The Mormons say that. Right? We all serve the same God. Well, did your God send a son to die for you? Is his son's name Jesus? And he said, well, no, you don't have to believe in that. No, no, that's what you believe. But we believe that Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit live in us. Amen. That God sent his son because he loved us so much to die for us on the cross. And he rose again on the third day and is seated at the right hand of the Father. If they don't believe that, they're not Christians. We don't serve the same God. No matter how much it sounds alike, that's why many religions are trying to get people to come together and we can fellowship together. And we can do all these things together. The problem is, eventually, we got to seek some power. And where are we going to get that power if we don't have the name of Jesus? Who are you going to seek for the power? Paul? Mary? Those are not the names given to us that we must confess. We can confess and believe that we're going to have. It's the name of Jesus that's going to separate everybody. Because the moment you begin to talk to anybody that believes anything other than what we believe, the moment you say the name of Jesus, that's it. Conversation done. We have now separated and we're in different camps. Does it have to be that way? No. No. But as much as they say that, oh, we can get along, as much as they say that that's going to work, it never does. It never does, because Jesus is the preeminent source of everything we are. You can lie to yourself. You can even try to make it work. But it will never work, because eventually we got to get to Jesus. Because somebody in that little group is going to get sick. Somebody in that little group may have a need. And you're going to pray, then you're going to start praying in tongues. And in the name of Jesus, that devil has to come out. That's it. Conversation over. Group is expanded. I'm telling you, it's a great time to be alive. See that joy I have? Got to keep it going, man. I ain't got no time to be sad. I'm telling you. Even when the doctor says, hey, we got to do some more exams. Oh, okay, that's all right. When I get back, we'll get it done. I'm not going to do it with this. You know, I'm telling you, the devil will just continue and continue and continue to throw things at you if you let him. If you allow him a little bit, he'll take more. If you allow him to give up a little bit of your faith, he wants more. He wants to rob you, you see. The devil wants to steal your faith. The devil wants to steal your children. He wants to steal your relationships. He wants to steal your love. He wants to steal your peace, your joy, your compassion, your self-control. Huh? That's what he wants to steal. That's what he wants to steal from you. And unfortunately, too many children of God are giving it away. You see, because the moment you lose your faith, the moment you lose your love and your compassion and your peace and all that stuff, you've lost. Can you get it back? Sure you can. You can ask God for forgiveness, and he's ready. Okay, let's go again. And thank God for that. Isn't that great? Then you mess up, you walk down with lack of faith, and he said to you, oh, man, I don't believe this. He blew it. Now I can't do anything for him until he gets it all right again. Amen. But God is faithful to forgive us. Forgive us of our shortcomings, our faults, our wrong words, our wrong faith, our wrong belief. He's faithful to believe us. But when you know the truth, when you know the truth and you go the other way, you are your own worst enemy. You see, because if you know the truth and you go the other way, it's not the devil anymore. You made a wrong decision. Now you're in rebellion. You're in disobedience to God himself. Why do that when he can give us so much joy, so much peace, so much everything that he gives us? Why would we want to go over on the other side and just accept all that crummy junk that the devil has? Why? Because we do it out of our comfort zones. We do it because it's, that's the easy way out. That's the easy way to do it. How many times has probably some people tell Pastor Monette, oh, don't worry, Pastor, I'll be here. I'm going to help. I'm going to paint. I'm going to do this. I'm going to clean. I'm going to do this. And they don't show up. Now, Pastor Monette can get very angry and say, hey, what's the matter with you? You know, you said you were going to do this. You said you were going to do that. What is wrong with you? Give me 15 male Hail Marys. This is not a church of penance. God handles that. God will handle that. And just remember that that attack that the enemy has against you will never stop. It will never stop. You will fend it off. You will keep on going. No matter what he's throwing at you, you just keep your joy and keep going. Because he's not going to stop. See, because that's what he wants. He wants to destroy the Christians so that they get into disbelief, they get into sin, and they stay in sin. And they stay separated from God, and they don't know how to get back. You see, the most interesting thing is that the devil knows the Word of God. Did you know that? The devil knows the Word of God sometimes better than the Christians. You see, he knows the power you have. Isn't that something? The devil knows the kind of power that you have. You have the power to send them off. You have the power to destroy his work. You have the power to cast them out of your house. You have the power to just say, no, you're not going to do this in my life. You have the power. You have the power to do that. God gave you that power in the name of Jesus. He gave you the power to live a victorious life. He gave you the power to say no to the devil. He gave you the power to do the right thing. Is it easy doing the right thing? How many here think that it's easy being a Christian? No, it's not easy being a Christian. I don't know where that got sold, but it's a lie. It's not easy. And what I'll take that back. It's easy being a Christian. It's hard being a believer. Okay? So let's take that back a little bit. It's easy being a Christian. Because once you get the title, oh, I'm okay. Things are fine. No, they're not fine. Now you got to become a believer. A true believer. In who? In Christ himself. And the very Spirit of the living God that lives within you. You see, that's where it all begins. Do you believe do you really believe that the Holy Spirit, God and the Father, and Jesus live in you? Do you really, really believe that? You see? And when you really get to the point where you say, I really believe it, and you begin to confess it, and you begin to speak it, and you begin to share it with other people, then you can say you're truly a believer. Up to that point, you're a Christian. Are you hearing me? You see, because you could be a Christian and go to heaven. But as a believer, you're a Christian who lives in victory here. You go through the battles. You go through everything, but you are victorious through every one of your battles. You are victorious at what you're going through. Are you hearing me? Every one of us, regardless of age, you could be 2 years old. You could be 100 years old. You're still alive and breathing. That means you have victory left in your life. You have places to go, people to see, things to do that God has ordained for you. Too many people, you know, kind of count themselves out once they turn 65. Not in the church. That doesn't work. There's no such thing as a retired Christian. It does not function in the kingdom. You will work to the day you go home. When God says, okay, son, come on up. Get on the A elevator. Whatever it is. See, everybody, we talk about death, we talk about rebirth, we talk about all those things. Nobody knows how that works, right? We die, and our spirit goes up to heaven right away. That's what the Bible says, right? But nobody knows how that happens. You receive Jesus Christ, he comes into your heart. Nobody knows how that happens. Yet, it's the greatest miracle of all. Did you know that? The greatest miracle is not healing. The greatest miracle is salvation. None of us know how it works. We can't even explain it sometimes. Right? How do you explain that to a non-believer? Well, you accept Christ and you receive him. Yeah, but how do I know? Well, you know. God does it. He makes a transition. He takes something out and he puts something else in. But nobody knows how it works, but we know it does work. Because we believe. Because we're believers. Say that with me. I am a believer. That was weak.
I am
a believer.
A believer.
Is that better?
Yes.
Is that better?
Amen.
No, let's do it one more time.
I am
a believer.
A believer.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. You got to say that every morning, man. Wake up in the morning. I'm a believer, devil, so move out. Get out of my way today. I'm a believer. I'm not going to take any of your garbage today. Do it. It'll make you feel better anyway. Even if you just say it and you don't believe it, it'll make you feel better. Just do it. And you watch what God will start doing in your life. It'll make your whole day just go a lot better. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I already covered all of this. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You remember the story of the shadow of Peter? Isn't that an incredible story? Don't you think? To be healed by a man's shadow? I mean, think about it. That he would pass by and people who were on the side were healed when the shadow hit them. I mean, when you think about that, it would, you know, when it says, well, are you crazy? Nah, are you sure? Maybe they were already healed. How do we know that? Because the Word says it. As crazy as it sounds, as out there as it sounds, people were healed by His shadow. And a time is coming, brothers and sisters, if you are His child, that your shadow is going to heal somebody. Are you hearing me? Remember, what did the Word say? That the latter days will be greater than the former. So if that's what was happening in Jesus' time, in Peter's time, don't you think if we're going to have more of that than he had of it, we're going to do it more. Oh, you boy. I'm telling you, think about that. We are coming to His glorious church where you're going to see all of the gifts in manifestation. The glorious church walking in His power. That's what a glorious church is. We are walking in His power. And so as we walk in His power, people get healed. People get delivered. People got to get set free of all kinds of garbage because things are happening because the glorious people of God are walking wherever they are. Remember that the glorious church is not just a new way church. It's going to be a whole body of believers that are trusting God in everything they do. Oh, I'm telling you, it's coming. Woo, I can feel it in the air. I can feel it in the spirit that it's coming. It's coming. Brothers and sisters, that we have to be ready to do what God wants us to do. Signs and wonders are supposed to come through these hands. They're supposed to come through these words. Signs and wonders will follow wherever you speak of Jesus Christ. You've got to believe it that God is going to use you. No matter how bad the situation. What about the man who had the withered hand? What's a withered hand? Everybody know what a withered hand is? There is no hand. Yeah. God just came in and new hand. Now that would have made a whole lot of people jump and accept Christ. You see, because the very same miracles that Jesus did in those days, if we do them today, is going to do what? It's going to bring the lost into the kingdom. Because you won't be able to deny the miracle. How can you deny the miracle if it's you? And then you take that person around you everywhere you go and you put them up. You see this person here? He was dead 5 minutes ago. You think the audience is going to say, yeah. You see, because you get doubting, devil that wants you to do that. I remember when I first became a Christian, they talked about healing. Until I saw it, until I was healed, right? But I believed way before I was healed. I know God was a healer because my wife was healed as a child from rheumatoid arthritis. She was in the hospital 2 years. I mean, you look at her now, you don't see any sign of it. But you've got to believe. We got to go to the Word. We got to go to the Word because we're not going to have a message without that Word. All right, let's go to it. We got 5 minutes. We'll get some grace from Pastor. God will give it to the pastor. Pastor will give it to us. He'll give us grace. He'll give us grace. Okay. Let's go to Acts 4:13 real quickly. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, I'm excited. I might just stay here 2 or 3 hours. Is that okay with you? Yes. Is that okay with you? Yes. Yeah. Some of you are saying amen, but you're just saying it because your neighbor is saying it. You got it? Acts 4:13, and we're going to start here, 4:13. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained, they what? They marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. That's what I'm saying, man. When you get into the midst of Jesus and Jesus is in the middle of you and things begin to happen and then people are going to look, man, this guy didn't do this. Somebody else did this. Somebody else did this. See, they marveled when they saw. There must have been a shining going around Peter and John because they saw it. They saw it on them. They saw something different from them because they perceived they were uneducated. So that was easy for them to perceive that they were educated, and they marveled. And they say, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. How in the world did they realize? These were Pharisees. These were Pharisees. But they realized that they had been with Jesus. And this is what I said earlier. Do people, when you're with them, Do they see Jesus on you? Do they feel the power of the Holy Spirit on you? There's a difference, isn't there? That's why when you go to a conference and it's made up of fire crazy Pentecostals, my God, you know, the Spirit flows like crazy in those meetings. You know why? Because everybody's hungry. Everybody wants God to show up. Everybody's there ready to receive, man. You want front row seats. You think God's right in the front. He's everywhere when you're in those meetings. I've been in meetings like that started at 8 o'clock, and we didn't get out there till 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, there was just one move after another. I thought it was the greatest thing, and I went there like a doubting Tom, because I saw somebody moving in the Spirit with the spirit of laughter. And, you know, they were laughing away there, and they're laying on the floor. And I'm over here looking at the clock, and, man, I want to get going. It's already 10:30. I want to get out of here. So the lady says, could you help me up? And so the other lady says, well, I don't want to pick her up. You know, her friend, I don't want to pick her up, because if I touch her, I'll start laughing too. So I didn't believe that. See, I didn't believe that. And I asked God, if this is of you, Lord, I was a doubting Tom in the audience. If this is of you, I want it, Lord. So she asked me to pick up that lady. So I picked her up, nothing. You know, she said, oh, yeah, okay. I picked up this lady. I put her in the chair. Within 3 seconds, I'm laughing like a wild hyena. And all the people that we were with, they weren't laughing either until I touched them. And they all started laughing. That was the only thing that I had. I said, oh, my God. And I asked the Lord, I said, if this is your view, I want it. And you know, I've seen it only happen one other time. Any other time other than that, it was man-made. See, because man can do that. Man can influence you. That's why comedians make people laugh. They influence you with their words or whatever. But that was an incredible move of God for me. It just took me to another level with God. Because when I'm over here laughing about it. Oh, man, let's stick to the word. Let's go here. Okay. All right, in verse 14, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Brothers and sisters, that's what I'm talking about. When you begin to move in the Spirit, and you begin to touch people's lives, nobody will be able to deny the miracle that is happening in that person's life. When somebody gets delivered from drugs or alcohol or whatever it may be, or cancer or sickness, whatever it is, and you see them hopping around where they couldn't hop before, they're moving around, screaming, yelling when they couldn't even talk before, that's going to be something that will move the body of Christ as well as the non-believer. Because there's always non-believing Christians in the audience. You heard what I said? You see, there are Christians in there, but they're non-believers. They don't believe the Word of God. But you'll get people saved too. Because during this time, over 3,000 people came to Christ. 3,000. That's an instant church, or multiple of 10. 10 churches of 300 each. Hallelujah. I mean, that's what we wanted. That's what it's all about. It's all about serving God and letting God work through us so that He can bring more children into the kingdom of God. And if you don't think you're worthy, that's only the devil telling you that. Every one of us is worthy to grow, worthy to minister, to speak the word of God to somebody else. Your testimony is your greatest gift. Your testimony, it is your greatest gift to share with other people. Because only you went through it. Hallelujah. In verse 15, but when they commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? Well, they weren't going to give them a $50 card down to, you know, to some restaurant, right? What should we do to these men? Were they going to reward them? They wanted to probably kill them if they could have, or put them in prison better. What shall we do with these men? For indeed, a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Who's the we? The Pharisees. They cannot deny when they see a miracle of God. And that's why the miracles of God have got to be public. This secret stuff, that's only the devil. It can be public. It could be out in the middle of nowhere. It could just be in your office. It could be anywhere. And before you say, well, you know, healing somebody of a cold is no big deal. Well, to them, it's a big deal. If they have a cold and you pray for them and all of a sudden they don't have it anymore, that's a big deal to the one who had the cold. And the next time that she has another cold, who do you think she's going to come looking for? You. Because you have the source. Now we're talking like Star Wars. We're the source. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 17 it says, but so it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them. Who is the one that's doing the severely threatening here? Huh? How do you get severely threatened today? Because they severely threatened to them is that they probably told them, no more will you preach in this man's name. Will you preach or you teach? That's what they told them. You cannot do that. But who's the one that's telling you you can't do it? Who's threatening you? The devil. The devil's telling you not to do it. The devil's telling you you're not going to get healed. The devil's telling you you won't be able to get that person saved. The devil's telling you that you don't have the qualities to serve him, to serve God. The devil is the one that's severely threatening you. And you've got to know it. You've got to know that the moment you want to do something for God, the devil's going to try to come right in there and try to rob you of what you want to do. And that's why when you decide that you want to do something for God, you better never, ever, ever change your mind. Just go for it. Just go for it. Because you're going to love it. You're going to love the blessing of being in His presence. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. Are you hearing me? The devil is the one that tells you you're going to lose your job. You better not tithe. Huh? Don't tithe. Don't give that tithe check. You ain't got a job. Huh? Hey, don't. You're gonna die. Forget about that healing prayer. He's the one that's giving you a whole bunch of lies. And in verse 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered, how could you tell Peter and John not to do that? How in the world are you going to tell Peter and John? They just healed the guy. They just healed this guy who couldn't talk, 40 years old, and hadn't said a word in 40 years. How are you going to tell Peter and John and said to them, you know, he says, you are not to speak in the name of Jesus. Are you nuts? At that point, I would have gone to my deathbed with it. I said, this is it. We're going with this. Because look what Peter said. But Peter and John answered and said, both of them said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. And he told them to judge it. He told the Pharisees to judge it. Then they really didn't know what to do. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. How many miracles have you guys seen? Whether they be small miracles or large miracles. How many have you seen that you don't even speak about? The miracles in your own life. You don't even speak about them. You take them for granted. And yet that's the very testimony that many people need to hear of what God did in your life. And then they know, and He'll do it for you too. And He'll do it for you too. My testimony has become, man, God has healed me 3 times from cancer, and He'll do it for you too. Yeah. He'll do it for you too. Thank you, Lord. When I Uber people and then I take them to hospitals and ever, I always find out what it is they're going in for, because it gives me an opportunity to pray for them, and I share my testimony. Yeah. And it lifts up their spirit. Yeah. It lifts up their spirit when they go in there. I'm telling you. It is a marvelous thing God wants us to do. In verse 21, so when they had further threatened them, get that devil again, threatening again, let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, today, if the body of Christ would wake up and we would all start walking in faith and believing what God wants to do through us, and we begin to touch people's lives, and people start getting healed wherever we go, and people get set free from drugs and alcohol and all that junk, the world has to notice. They cannot deny it. And they will come to the house of God to find this Christ. They will come if we do what we're supposed to do out there. You'll find some people getting healed in the church, but most of them will be out there. Most of them will be in your workplace. They'll be in the supermarkets. They'll be around your homes. They'll be where you work. I mean, they'll be everywhere but church. And I love this part. So when they heard, verse 24, when they heard that, they raised their voice to who? With one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? Is this what's going on now? I see nations raging. Did you ever see so much anger in your life as you see right now? Everywhere you go, people are angry. If you step on a toe, they're angry. If you cut them off on the road, they're angry. I mean, they're angry about anything and everything. I'm telling you, you see them all the time on the road, and you see them everywhere. You see them on TV, you see it everywhere. And said, the nations rage and the people plot vain thing. The kings of the earth, the leaders, took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. That is exactly what you see happening all over the world. They want Christ, the name of Christ, out of the picture. They want it out of the picture. They don't want his church to be strong. That's the devil. The devil doesn't want the church of Christ to be strong. And before you start saying, well, Pastor Lou, we're just one little church here. No, you are one mighty church for God. Amen. You see, it doesn't matter the size. You could be a church of five people and people be healed all over the place because you believe and you trust in him. And you go from five people to 3,000 people overnight. Gee, that's a pretty big church with 3,000 people. How are you going to afford that? Well, if they give their tithe, you should have enough money for a church. God knows everything. He will supply. If he gives you 3,000 people, he's going to give you 3,000 enough to cover the 3,000 people. Believe that. He don't leave anything untouched or undone. And in verse 27, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. You see? Everybody thinks that the Jews killed Jesus or the Romans killed Jesus. They asked that question. And the only person that killed Jesus was his father. He sent Jesus to die. That was his plan. Had to be done through somebody's, and it was done through the Romans. But the Jews delivered them. The Jews delivered them to the Romans. So every one of them did their part in fulfilling God's plan for Jesus. See? But everybody says, was it the Jews? No, that was done. That was in the flesh here. But God ordained what happened to Jesus. God ordained it. And if he ordained it for Jesus, how could he not ordain it for you, what he wants for you? Are you hearing me? And that's why you've got to be obedient. You've got to step out in little things and big things. You've got to let God direct your path. You've got to let him be God in your life. And you walk in faith and believe and trust in him. And man, you're going to have such a joyous life. You're going to walk through those doors with a smile from here to here. Like a McDonald's smile. And let me end it here. And now, this is again. Now, Lord, look on their threats. Grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Does that sound like a prayer that you could pray for yourself? Huh? Wouldn't that be a great prayer for you to remember? Huh? Remember your holy servant? Huh? Remember me, Lord? Give me the boldness to speak your word, and that signs and wonders would follow and healing would follow me wherever I go and speak in your name. That would be a great prayer. Because God what? God answers his word. You're just speaking what God spoke. And he says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. Wow. That means God can move and he can shake things and he can rumble things up. You bet. When you get people in one accord, believing in one spirit, man, God will move everything in sight. That's the power of being in one accord and in one spirit. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled, which they were shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Ah, ain't that good? God wants you to speak his word with boldness. Wherever you go, whoever you're sharing it with, you probably know a lot of teenagers, right? Every teenager, you should share the word of God with boldness. You must know a lot of people. The same thing. They may not, some of them are a little hard of hearing like I am a little bit. That's not been healed yet. I don't know why. But when you speak to some of these old goats and you say, hey, listen up. You wake them up from that 24-hour sleep. They might stay awake for a long time. You can't be afraid of anybody, whether it be a young person, an old person, whether a person's an invalid, he's paralyzed. It makes no difference. It just makes that more great for God to work. And then you get to be in the middle of it. I love that. See, we can't do a single thing. We cannot do a single thing. It is God who does it through us. Amen. You can think about it. Think about that. Because Jesus couldn't do a single miracle. You know that Jesus didn't perform any miracles? Does everybody know that? Jesus never performed any miracle. Did you know that? He never performed any miracle. It was his Father who did the miracle. Remember, he said, whatever I see my Father do, I do. His Father answered his prayers to heal people. He didn't do it. Jesus said it himself. Whatever I see my Father, hear my Father say, I say. Whatever I see my Father do, I do. His Father was working all the time. That's why Jesus came here in the flesh. That's why Jesus came here as a man, to teach us how to be a child of God. How to live in victory in the flesh here. Hello. It is an awesome truth that Jesus gave us the greatest example of being a believer here. He gave it because he came as a man. Because the Bible says he grew in knowledge and wisdom all the time. If you're God, if you came here as God, there is no more what knowledge or wisdom. You've got it all already. So he grew in his knowledge of his Father's word. How did he know his Father? How do you think he knew his Father? From the Old Testament. Because he had the Old Testament. He could read the Old Testament and know who his Father was. If you read the Old Testament, you know who Jesus is. Because the Old Testament speaks of Jesus' coming. So Jesus found in the Old Testament who he was. It's an incredible thing when you think about it, brothers and sisters. It's not you doing anything. You are walking in faith and you're believing God at His word. Just like Jesus did. Just like Jesus did it. He believed God was going to do exactly what He asked and what He prayed for. Oh, I don't know about you. I'm already excited enough to go blow down some doors somewhere. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. How many of you want to see signs and wonders in your life? Okay. Won't we stand? Pastor Monette, I'm sorry. I went over a little bit. But it was supposed to go till 2 o'clock, so that's a little bit. How many of you have the joy of the Lord in you? Amen. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Well, put it down in your face. Let that smile be on your face. That's the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy. Say that with me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Let's say it all one at a time. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You believe that? You believe that?
Amen.
Man, just take that word, eat that word, and then do it. He says, lay hands on the sick. Do it. Do it. You just put your hand out there. Father, you just show up. Show up. I'm doing this in faith, Lord. I'm praying for this individual. She's going to be healed. He's going to be healed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Put your hands side by side. Just touch the shoulders. Touch the shoulders. Touch the shoulders of your neighbor. Just touch the shoulders. Just touch the shoulder. Come over here. Come on, everybody, touch shoulders somewhere. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, oh, precious Heavenly Father, I give You the praise and the glory. I thank You, Father, for right now, Almighty God. I'm calling upon that anointing. I'm calling on power of the Holy Spirit to run through this house right now and touch hands and touch bodies and touch shoulders, Almighty God, that they might be a spirit of joy going through them, a spirit of faith going through each and one of these bodies, oh precious God. I thank You, dear gracious Lord, that You are not a respecter of persons, and what You do for one, You'll do for another. And that signs and wonders shall flow through this house. Signs and wonders shall flow through this house. And by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, signs and wonders will become a part of this house. The prophetic word shall come forth. The prophetic word shall bring direction. The prophetic word shall bring the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit into this house to begin to do the work that is at hand for each and every individual in this house, Almighty God. Thank You, Almighty God. Thank You, Lord, that the Holy Spirit right now, right now, right now, right now, the Holy Spirit is doing what He needs to do in each and every one of them. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You. And this is going down into the children and down to the children, the young ones as well. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Now say with me this prayer. Thank You, Lord, that You are here with us and that You have touched my body with Your Holy Spirit so that signs and wonders and healings and miracles take place in my life. And I receive it. Father, tomorrow, bring someone to me that I can pray for, that I can share You with. And I believe that I will pray over that person and they shall be set free or they will be healed. In the name of Jesus, I receive it. Amen. Woo! Glory, 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 glory. Woo! Pastor Monette. Oh, boy. Oh. Oh, yes. Where's the party in heaven? Woo! Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory.
Thank you, Lord. Oh. Hallelujah. Let's keep that fire burning in our hearts. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Before we dismiss you, amen. Is there someone here who has not received the Lord? Amen. Let us bow down and pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. If there's a brother or a sister who doesn't know the Lord yet, we are offering to you this invitation of prayer of salvation. Amen. Let us confess with our mouth. And Jesus said, anyone who confesses me shall be saved. Amen. He or she shall be saved. Amen. Let us offer this invitation. We are offering this invitation to you, brother or sister. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word today. Lord Jesus, I repent of all my sins. I thank you for making you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for writing my name in your book of life. And thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus. You are now my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we are going to take our second offering. Amen. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, it says there that how will they know unless someone sends a preacher? Let me read to you the word in the book of Romans, chapter 10. I need my eyeglasses. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, it says there that it starts in verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Brothers and sisters, we're going to take this second offering to bless our speaker today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this day, O God. We thank you, Lord God, that we heard your word today, O God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name today, O God. We offer to you, Lord God, this offering, O God. I speak blessing, O God, upon your people, O God. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory, O God. Keep this fire burning in our hearts, O God. Thank you for your word today, O God. Thank you for your message, O God. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us give cheerfully, brothers and sisters. Blessed.